The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for April is a collection of more than 600 hand-drawn Christian symbols by artist and author Edward Riojas. It's titled A Complete Guide to Christian Symbols. This new resource is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or learn more about A Complete Guide to Christian Symbols at IssuesETC.org. The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month, A Complete Guide to Christian Symbols. You wouldn't know it from the media narrative and the constant drumbeat that tells people that children are a hindrance to their lifestyles, tells women that children will ruin their career. But women in America generally want more kids than they have. I know it sounds unbelievable, but it's true. And yet, some women who say, I want more kids, continue to use contraception. So how do we understand that disparity? Welcome back to Issues, Etc. Joining us to talk about American women's attitudes on fertility and contraception, Lyman Stone. He's a PhD candidate in population dynamics at McGill University, director of research for demographic intelligence, adjunct fellow at the American Enterprise Institute, research fellow at the Institute for Family Studies, and author of a column titled Contraception in America, Survey Evidence on Women's Contraceptive Attitudes. Lyman, welcome back.
It's always good to be with you all.
Does contraceptive use in America match women's expressed fertility preferences?
The answer is no. And for there's two different sides of this. One is what we call unmet need. And this means women who say, I don't want to have kids, I'm sexually active, but I'm not using contraception, right? So that's what is called, you know, the typical term is unmet need. Now, that's a very dubious term because maybe those women have other reasons for not using contraception, like they are religiously or morally opposed to it, or they're sexually active, but with a partner who they happen to know can't father a child or parent a child. There's other reasons why this might not actually be unmet need, but we call it unmet need. But in that, there's tons of research on, like your local public health official would be happy to talk to you about the scourge of unmet need. But there's another side of this that is essentially entirely unstudied, and that is excess use. And this is women who say, I want to have another child, or, you know, I want to have another child and I'm sexually active, or who say, look, I'm not sexually active at all, like I'm celibate or whatever, but are using contraception. So these are women who are using contraception when it doesn't seem like they need to be. Now, again, there are reasons why this might not be excess use. You know, some people use contraception for like off-label uses, like control of some skin conditions and other conditions related to reproductive biology, or, you know, they might use it for things related to STIs. But regardless, unmet need gets lots of attention. Excess use gets virtually no attention. But in this article, based on some surveys that I and IFS fielded, we found that excess use is almost as common as unmet need. That is, there are almost as many women in America using contraceptions that they potentially actually don't need to be using as there are women who potentially should be using contraception if they want to stay within the confines of their desired family size or whatever.
So what basic things did we learn from the October 2023 Demographic Intelligence Family Survey on this subject?
Yeah, so this is the big finding, right, is that there's a lot of potential excess use of contraception, including women who say in our survey, like, I am actively trying to conceive a child, and also I am using birth control. I mean, you're like, hold on, I don't think those go together, but I can tell you these are not like fake respondents trolling me. I actually, you know, have a lot of follow-up work on these people that we can see. There are other things. We kind of understand what's going on. And a lot of this is women who maybe would like to have another child, but in some cases might be feeling pressure to use contraception. That is, maybe they want to have another child, but at some point in the past, someone pressured them into having a tubal ligation, right? Sterilization. Or they want to have another child, but their partner disagrees, their husband or unmarried partner disagrees. And so he's deciding for them that they will be using contraception. There are different cases here where there's excess use, and there's quite a lot of it. Something like 5 to 10% of women ages 18 to 44 may be experiencing potential excess use versus about 10 to 15% of those women may be experiencing potential unmet need.
So what other attitudes toward contraception in its various forms did you find as you dig down?
So one of the things we really wanted to know about is this question of pressure. Is like, do people feel pressure to use contraception that maybe isn't appropriate for them? But we were worried if we just asked people like, have you ever pressured someone to use contraception that they shouldn't use, that they are not going to be like, yeah, I do that all the time. And likewise, if we just asked people like, have you ever felt any pressure? That might be more reliable. But again, like people are probably going to have really different views of what it means to like feel pressure. So instead we thought, what if we give people like hypothetical scenarios and we ask them like, imagine your friend is in this situation and she asks you like which contraception she should use, if any, how much would you approve of using one of these, you know, four contraceptions or no contraception at all? And so we asked that. So it's like this, these imaginary scenarios. We randomly varied like the age of the woman being advised. And also we randomly varied her exact fertility preferences to get at basically what kinds of circumstances lead American women to advise their friends to use contraception or to use different types. And what we found is a very large share of American women will advise their friends to use contraception that is wildly inappropriate for their actual fertility preferences. There's a lot of over-advising of contraception.
So what drives women to sometimes ignore their fertility preferences?
So I think the easiest way to think about this is to focus on sterilization, okay? So we asked, one of the types of contraception that could be discussed was like a tubal ligation. And we can look at the subset of women where we basically said, imagine the woman you're advising does want more kids. She just doesn't want them yet. Like, so she's postponing, but she does want more kids, okay? So like that is a case where if someone does want more kids, you shouldn't advise them to get sterilized, okay? Because that, like, then they won't have more kids. Like, you're very much advising them to do something that's opposed to their own preferences. And if you were a doctor, and you had a patient in your clinic and they said, I do want more kids, and you said, okay, we're going to advise a tubal ligation, like, you will lose that malpractice lawsuit, okay? Like, if you're a doctor and you said that, you're going to get sued, you will lose, your insurance will have to pay out a lot, and your insurance rates will go up. So this is really bad advice. So then like what share of people will give that advice? What share of women will advise other women to get a tubal ligation when they do want more kids? Offhand, I don't remember the exact percentage, but it's definitely not none. I think I recall it was something like 10 or 15% of women will advise this quite bad practice. And what predicts that, you might think, oh, like why do people give this? Is that it turns out when we actually looked at it, what the vast majority of our respondents actually did was they basically, instead of actually really giving advice based on like the situation of the woman in the scenario that we described, they basically just always advised that the person in the scenario do whatever they themselves did. So like, even if the person in the scenario was a young woman who wanted more kids, if the respondent in our survey was sterilized, she would advise that woman to get sterilized. Okay. Or if she was using an IUD, she would advise that woman use an IUD. If she uses the pill, she would advise that the other woman use the pill. That is that people tend to recommend that other people do what they did. Now, that's not crazy. Like you understand how that works, but it points to a really real problem because other people might not be like you, right? If I say, well, you should do what I did. Well, that doesn't make sense if the other person doesn't want what you want. And then the other big factor was we found that the fewer children that somebody wants for themselves, the more likely they were to advise that other women use permanent contraception, even if they want kids. So women who basically want like zero kids for themselves were way more likely to advise other women, look, you should just get sterilized, even though you do want kids. So there is sort of an anti-child evangelism going on here.
Why is the disconnect between fertility preference and contraception attitudes important?
Well, there's a couple reasons. One, our government spends a lot of public health money on targeting contraception in dealing with the problem of unmet need. Okay, so we say, gosh, there's all these people who don't want to have kids. So, you know, as a public interest thing, we need to help these, you know, teenagers get access to condoms or whatever. There's different policies that are used here. There's a lot of money that goes into that. And look, you know, I'm not here to like judge whether that money is well or badly spent or whatever, but I think the bare minimum we can say in a society that claims to value people's preferences for their own life, whether that's true or not, we could debate, but we claim to value that. The bare minimum we could say is, look, for every dollar we spend on unmet need, on trying to help people get access to contraception, we should probably like spend a dollar trying to deal with the problem of excess use, of going after doctors who pressure patients into using contraception they don't need, or promoting contraceptive literacy that helps people understand, after you go off contraception, how long is it likely to take you to get pregnant? Does that matter for which type of contraception? So let's actually think through what kind of timeline you're thinking about for your family before we just drop whatever random contraception that the doctor in today happens to favor. So we really need to be actually thinking about having our medical system care a little bit about what patients actually want for their own reproduction. And because a lot of public money goes into exactly this question, this is a place where we can reason politically. We can say, look, unmet need, sure, social problem, whatever, excess uses too. Can we please require our family planning clinics to demonstrate that they are taking reasonable effort to tackle excess use?
Can we tell what kind of pressures women encounter to conform to contraceptive norms?
Yeah, I mean, the classic one is basically from like doctors, right? That, you know, you go in for a checkup and the doctor, you know, advises contraception because you mentioned something and you mentioned like, you know, you're sexually active or you've just had a child. And then the doctor says, okay, so have you thought about like, you know, timing of your next child or something? And then doctors use it as an opportunity to encourage you, or we could say pressure you, to consider various contraceptive options. And look, you know, this is not like a terrible thing for a doctor to do. It's within their reasonable scope of practice to say, you know, based on what you've said, I think, you know, maybe you could consider such a contraception. The problem with that is that what actually often happens is that no matter what the patient says, whether they say, oh yeah, I want to have a kid soon, or I don't want to have a kid soon, or I never want to have a kid again, the doctor ends up advising the same thing. Right? Like, oh, no matter what you say, I'm going to recommend an IUD. Like that's actually what happens in a lot of these cases. And so that's what I want to tackle is like, look, I'm not trying to impose like a super anti-contraceptive mandate ever in the nation. I'm just saying, I really want to require doctors to actually listen to their patients.
We've heard from Lutheran lay people who asked their pastors for guidance when the birth control pill first came out. Many were told to take the pill, that only Roman Catholics teach that it's wrong. Do you think that the church needs to preach and teach more about contraception?
I think that we should be talking a lot more about family formation writ large, and that does include contraception. It's not only contraception, right? Because also, I mean, well, it's important to understand the Roman Catholic theology on this is not just about contraception, right? I'm not going to spend too much time on it, but they have a rather particular theology of human biology that we don't share. But that doesn't mean we have no teaching on contraception. In fact, I mean, CTCR has a report in the 80s where they talk about contraception and they lay out that, look, the argument that our church laid out in the 80s was, that I think is a pretty good one, is that, look, Christian marriages are to be open to children. Christian marriages, the childless Christian marriage, or at least the intentionally childless Christian marriage, I should say intentionally, because obviously people have infertility, miscarriage, get married, whatever. But intentionally childless marriages are never to be the norm in a Christian community. They do not find any biblical support. Again, you can read CTCR's take on this, but they argue that this is not an appropriate use of contraception. It's not appropriate to use contraception to create a childless marriage. That said, CTCR suggests that using contraception to space out births in the same way that you might use breastfeeding to space out births or use like natural family planning to space out births, this is what a lot of people do. Even very traditionalist Catholics often do this. That might be a reasonable use. You know, you can think about other cases that we might think of as pastoral. If you're dealing with a couple that's had 9 miscarriages and 0 live conceptions, is it acceptable to counsel them that, okay, you know, you don't have to keep charging up this hill? Pastors are going to differ on that. But I think the conversation we need to be having is not about, oh, what specific case, you know, whatever, but it's just to acknowledge that, like, actually this idea that you should just be able to pick and choose your number of kids exactly as you want. And if it's zero, that's totally fine because God doesn't really have a concrete intention for kids in marriage. That's nonsense. Okay. Like, whatever specific rules you want to set on contraception, Christian marriages are to be open to children. Like, point blank, they are. And that's not something that our synod has ever actually been ambiguous about at the synodical level. And I think that we should say that, that if you're unmarried, obviously we expect chastity. And if you're married, we expect children. Like, we do. It's right there. It's always been there. And I should say, for the 500 years after the Reformation, or for 450 years after the Reformation, until like the 1950s, you could predict a lot about the fertility of a town by the presence of Lutheran churches. And this was true in Europe and the US, that if Lutherans were in the town, there were more babies in the town than if Catholics were there. Lutherans were known, and they remain known in historical demography, as a uniquely pronatal group. They had bigger families than all their neighbors. This was true up until quite historically recently, as recently as the 1890s in the US, counties with bigger Lutheran populations had far higher fertility. So the fact that today we are one of the lowest fertility denominations is a fundamental break with and deviation from historic Lutheran orthodoxy.
Lyman Stone is a PhD candidate in population dynamics at McGill University, director of research for demographic intelligence, adjunct fellow at the American Enterprise Institute, research fellow at the Institute for Family Studies, and author of a column titled Contraception in America, Survey Evidence on Women's Contraceptives Attitudes. You can read it on the Talk On Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Lyman, thank you.
Thank you.
Tuesday on Issues Etc., we'll look forward to Good Shepherd Sunday, according to the three-year lectionary with Pastor Sean Denzer. We'll have Pastor Tom Baker lead us in a Sunday school lesson on Jesus walking on water in Matthew chapter 14. And we'll respond to your email, talkback@issuesetc.org, and the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
I am beautiful because I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
I am accepted because I'm a part of His family through Jesus' shed blood.
Unity Lutheran School in East St. Louis, Illinois, shines the light of Christ in one of the most impoverished cities in America. Learn how to support their mission work at unityesl.org. Unityesl.org.
Today, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I say yes to God in His ways.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.